Turn in the scriptures to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, we'll read starting in verse 1 through the end of chapter 57. Isaiah 56, verse 1, these are the words of the Lord, so give your attention to it now. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them and to those already gathered. All you beasts of the field, all you beasts in the forest, come to eat. His watchmen are blind, all of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark, dreamers lying down who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way. Each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say, let us get wine, and let us drink heavily of strong drink. And tomorrow will be like today, only more so. A righteous man perishes, and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taken away, while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in his upright way. But come here, you sons of a sorceress, offspring of an adulterer and a prostitute. Against whom do you jest? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring of deceit, who inflame yourselves among the oaks, under every luxuriant tree, who slaughter the children in the ravines, under the clefts of the crags? Among the smooth stones of the ravine is your portion. They are your lot. Even to them you are poured out a drink offering. You have made a grain offering. Shall I relent concerning these things? Upon a high and lofty mountain you have made your bed. You also went up there to offer sacrifice. Behind the door and the doorpost you have set up your sign. Indeed, far removed from me, you have uncovered yourself and have gone up and made your bed wide, and you've made an agreement for yourself with them. You've loved their bed. You've looked on their manhood. You have journeyed to the king with oil and increased your perfumes. You have sent your envoys a great distance and made them go down to Sheol. You were tired out by length of your road, yet you did not say, it is hopeless. You found renewed strength, therefore you did not faint. Of whom were you worried and fearful when you lied and did not remember me, nor give me a thought? Was I not silent even for a long time, so you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your deeds, but they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you, but the wind will carry all of them up, and the breath will take them away. But he who takes refuge in me will inherit the land and will possess my holy mountain. And it will be said, build up, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of those whom I have made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him. I hid my face and was angry, and he went on turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And that is the word of the Lord. The rest of Isaiah, from 56 to the end, is a new section. It's focusing on the homeland and every aspect of it. In our passage, we consider its present corruption. Of course, we'll look at greater blessings to come, but now present corruption. The last chapter called for faith and repentance. And such ones who believe and repent, who love God and keep His commandments, even those who are Gentile foreigners, even the eunuchs who produce no children, to such people who are poor and yet repentant, they are promised a place in God's house, which is called here the house of prayer, verse 7. What great promises. For in the time of Isaiah, no Gentile could ever enter into the temple courts. But the end of chapter 56 is a warning to shepherds of the flock. God demands evidence of holiness, but the pastors, elders of Israel are blind. They lack knowledge. They're mute and are lazy. They are like dogs all turning to their own way. Chapter 57, what happens with these shepherds of the flock who are lazy? All kinds of evil floods in among the people. There must be good shepherds to protect the flock of God, or evil will come. And so, beloved, you are called often to pray for your shepherds, your elders. First Peter, they are called shepherds. When it says elders, shepherd the flock among you, they are called pastors. Those who are righteous even amidst the exile will rest in peace. But verse 3, but those evil men will not. With such wicked men there will be ceaseless war against them. Bad shepherds have much to be afraid of, but true believers can rest peacefully in the knowledge of God's love for them. What evil though has come in because of the bad shepherds? We see chapter 57. Sorcery has come in, spiritual adultery, mockery, Canaanite sexual fertility rites, child sacrifice, idolatry, and further apostate rituals associated with foreign gods. What is Yahweh's response? It is to let them turn to their idols to save them when the peril that is before them comes. And that the chapter ends in promise for God's love to His people and healing, guiding and comforting, creating praise upon the lips of mourners will come. Peace is coming, but there is no peace for the wicked. Three principles are seen here. God dwells with His people. He dwells with the humble and dwells in those whose faith is rooted in the Messiah, anointed one, Christ, Jesus. Do you not want the Lord to dwell with you, beloved? And you are called here to humble yourself and come unto Him in faith with repentance. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. Again, we hear that we are called to be humbled. So humble us, Father. We ask that this humbling would not come by a mighty hand, but with a soft touch from You. for we are weak and often tempted to sin and fall into sin. Father, we ask that you would humble us, and in such humbling we would turn to you as our great God and Savior in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God who is just. And yet, Father, we ask that you would be just to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for peace that your people receive because they are in Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, or also could be called the Peaceful Prince. Well, Father, we ask that you would bring peace to our lives. Peace as it has to do with judgment, that we, in love, we would know that there is no fear in love, for there's only fear in judgment, in punishment. But Father, in Christ, you have delivered us from such judgment. And so give us peace in that. Give us peace so that even in our lives there would be produced in us peace as fruit of the Spirit. As it says, love, joy, peace. Give us these things. That you would be glorified and honored and exalted among the peoples. That even they would see our good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Father, we ask this day that you would be the God who heals. Heal those who are sick and struggling in body, like Karen and Dina and others, Father. We ask that you would heal all your people. That we would be able to serve you in a better way. At least trust in you more. Father, give wisdom to Ron and Karen as they have to figure out the medicine that Karen needs to take or surgery that needs to be done. Father, we do praise you for many things you have done for us. You've healed our bodies. You're the God who heals. And Father, we ask now that you would show yourself to be such now. Again. Father, be with us as a congregation as we continue to search for a more permanent location so that month by month we don't have to question where we're going, but we would know where we're to be. It would be easier for us to invite people to worship and perhaps easier to evangelize. But even now, work in us. The bearing testimony that is called for us to do. Father, answer our prayers because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.